Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Folks, another edition of the Michigan Basketball Insider with my guy, my big fella. Man, I wish I had an opportunity to feed this guy in the post, so we just do it metaphorically on this podcast on a weekly basis. His name is Tim McCormick. He was a star of Michigan basketball in the early 80s before going on to be a first-round draft pick. And where he played for a decade before going on and becoming a broadcaster, where he's been one of the best in the game ever since. And now he imparts his wisdom upon us as part of this podcast. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I love March, and I love calling games, and I love the smell of the popcorn. Starting Saturday, I have 6 games in 5 days.
Wow.
And that just put a huge smile on my face. And the good news is today is March, right? And everything matters more. Practices are more intense. Concentration goes way up in film studies. Guys are laser focused. The scouting reports get deep. You get more time getting treatment with your trainer. The drive home after practice, you don't listen to the radio, or at least you don't hear it because you're just daydreaming about the next game. Classes, you can't concentrate. Your mind is all over the place. Everything's intense. And Sam, trust me, in March, you don't have to psych yourself up for the next game because you just walk in the building, you're ready to go.
Well, you know, it's funny how you look back a year and Michigan was in largely the same position, you know, having to finish strong and wondering if they could, right? And here we are, Tim. I mean, these last 3 games and the way that they finished them, they were incapable of this earlier in the season, but they found some kind of switch. Because you think about the Michigan State game, that was a tie game, I want to say, with 4 minutes left. The Rutgers game was a 6-point game with 4 minutes left. They were behind with seconds to go against Wisconsin, right? And they found a way to win every single game, Tim. And so it feels like they're hitting their stride at the right time, right? You'd rather hit your stride in March than in January, wouldn't you, Tim?
There's a lot of teams in the Big Ten that are starting to fade. And Michigan, get this, hottest team in the Big Ten. They're the only team with 3 straight wins. And I think we should be really proud and excited. And, you know, everybody's all into the bracketology right now. I don't follow it that much. I've become friends with Joe Lunardi. I think he does a great job. He's created an industry for himself. But you can go way back, and I'm sure you remember this, against Penn State. Like, I wasn't obsessed about the fact that we were 11-10, and it just didn't look probable. Do you remember the number I gave you?
I do not remember the number.
19. I said if Michigan gets to 19 wins, they'll play in the NCAA tournament.
That's right. I do remember that now. Yes.
And so right now they're at 17. They've got 2 to go. So how they get there, I'm not sure. They probably have to try to split against Illinois, Indiana, win 1 in the Big Ten. I think they're in. Or if they lose those last 2 and win 2 in the Big Ten, I think they'll be in. So
yeah.
I don't care about what North Carolina is doing.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
Arizona State. Like, I don't worry about that. And if I'm wrong, I took a shot. It's what I think. But, you know, that's why I just take care of business.
Yeah. You know, look, I remember last year and the bracketologists had Michigan out and they were actually in comfortably as an 11 seed, right? So, look, I think they did themselves no favors, though, and you talked about this a couple of episodes ago. That Central Michigan game is such an anchor. Ooh. And so I feel like, you know, I feel like it's not the same scenario as last year. They have more to overcome, but they're trending towards doing that. You know, I really marvel at how they have been able to rehabilitate the confidence. I want to take you back a couple weeks now, Tim. I talked to Phil Martelli about this morning. After the Indiana game, we were all, even observing, we were dejected, right? I remember talking to you after. It's like, how do you lose that game? And Hunter came into the press conference, and he talked about how this just, any progress he made is out the window now. It's down the drain. It's just, you know, we're back at square one, right? You could just see he was just defeated.
He just needed a hug.
He was defeated. But you talked about that. You said, hey, you even – one of the great things about talking to you is you can get into the head of the players because you were there. And you said, Sam, Hunter is feeling sorry for himself. He's frustrated because everyone's all over him. When they lose, everyone's blaming him. It's because he's the guy, right? And you could see all of that in that moment. And Juwan came in after the fact. And he's like, well, I don't agree with what he said or what Hunter said. You know, we made progress. We got to bounce back. We got to put that progress back to use in an effective way on the court. And what I thought in that moment was Hunter was honest. I mean, that was a huge setback. But Juwan was right in that, in the midst of a huge setback and belief is fading everywhere around you, you as the leader got to give them some belief. You got to show belief even if you don't believe yourself. And I wondered how they were going to coach that back into him. And obviously they were able to do that too.
Yeah. And, you know, when you think about it, a really important word is perspective. And you know who's really down right now? Purdue. Because Purdue's not playing real well. But from our perspective, we're thinking, wow, they're going to be Big Ten champs. That's incredible. Illinois has lost 3 out of 5. That's horrible. They must be really sad. Well, right
they
now
they lost to Ohio State, and they lost to let's put that in bright lights. They lost to Ohio State. Do you know how bad Ohio State has been, and they beat
horrible.
Illinois?
Yeah, but you know I love the fact that sports teaches you character and adversity management, and you know Hunter spoke his mind, and then I bet the next day he was like, man, we can do this. We're right back where we need to be. And another thing I want to say, Sam, about the NCAA tournament, why I think that ultimately, you know, even though Central Michigan was a putrid performance and the committee is going to hate it, I still think that brand matters.
Really?
And the NCAA tournament loves the blue bloods. And Michigan has made 5 straight Sweet 16s. They've got a brand. And I found this stat. I thought it was pretty interesting. Since 1985, only 6 schools have ever made 5 straight Sweet 16s. And so when I talk about Blue Bloods, listen to these names. Duke, Gonzaga, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Michigan. You know? And so massive crowds on TV. The ratings are through the roof. We've got a villain at center, and a lot of people know who he is, and they like watching him. And we've got 2 potential lottery picks on the wing. If it's close, Sam, Michigan's going to get in.
Okay. Well, hey, man, they got to keep doing what they've been doing. So let's get into this Wisconsin game. I sort of laid it out where tie game with Michigan State 4 minutes to go, you close them out. 6-point game 4 minutes to go against Rutgers, you close them out. You're the better team for the better part of 35 minutes against Wisconsin, but they keep hanging around. And when you let a team hang around, Tim, they have a way of coming back on you and coming back to bite you. And Wisconsin did that. And they were up in this game late. Every reason to think that, man, this is going to be one of those heartbreaking defeats. And they snatched a victory from the claws of defeat in that game, courtesy of a big shot from Hunter Dickinson.
Wow. And Sam, I broadcast pretty much every weekend, but I was off on Saturday and I went to the game and I had the best day. I loved it. I got to sit next to Richard Relford and Jimmy King.
That's cool.
Mike Hart was right across the aisle. What a legend. And the crowd was electric, strong opponent, so much at stake. It was so special. And Hunter Dickinson is one of the best centers in Michigan history. Now he has his Jordan Poole moment. You know, same area, not quite as deep, stakes not quite as high, But to me, like, he's a legend because of that shot, because I'm never going to forget it in my lifetime. So many observations from the game. Hunter, Doug, and Kobe, see, they combined for 71 points. That's crazy. And Wisconsin only scored 79 as a team. Mm-hmm. I thought Wisconsin's really good. They played well. They played hard. I look at their record, and it surprises me. Their guards are tough. Michigan shot so well. I think they're right at 40, I think 49%. They only missed four free throws, like plus 11 from the line. And Kobe Bufkin, man, that guy's a star in the making. The composure that he had was so good. And Sam, I was thinking back, man, I've been all over the board, and I've been so wrong on Kobe Bufkin in so many ways. Like originally, I said after watching him practice, he reminded me of a smaller version of Calbert Chaney from Indiana. You know, that's unfair. Calbert Chaney is one of the all-time great wings. And then earlier this year, I was getting frustrated because I just didn't think the guy could make a shot. Like, he was so erratic. But now all of a sudden, with the game on the line, down to what a great play, right side of the court, and Kobe took Klesmet, and that was an NBA caliber jump shot. Like, that was Mitch Richmond. That was Rolando Blackman. Like two or three back dribbles, pull up. That was so clutch, man. I was fired up.
Mitch Richmond. See, they don't know about. See, the young kids don't know about Run TMC back with Golden State. You had Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, Chris Mullin, Rolando Blackman. Those Dallas Maverick teams with Rolando Blackman and Derek Harper and Sam Perkins. You know, you think about Roy Tarpley was on that team. I mean, they had some dogs, just couldn't get past the Lakers. I digress. You take me back, Tim. You get me all fired up.
Yeah, not many can. Look, and when I think of what great guards are, Kobe's got a lot of intangibles, and if he gets a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger, and if he comes back, that guy is a lottery pick.
Yeah,
I saw it in person, and sometimes when you watch on TV, you think, man, he's good. When you watch them in person, you see a whole different deal, and Kobe, like, I walked away, my eyes were wide open, and Hunter's shot was pretty amazing, and it was neat. Sam, you've been there, where sometimes you're sitting in a line of vision where the ball is coming right at you. Like, the ball and the rim were right there, and I had a perfect view of it, and it looked like it was going in the second he let it go. That was an unbelievable shot. That bucket by Kobe was just as impressive to me.
Yeah, so a couple things. So 95 to 99% of the time, Tim, you are bringing not just the listeners, the viewers' perspective, you're bringing me perspective. Mm-hmm. But on Kobe, this is that 1%, Tim. This is that 1%. Because I kept saying,
you called it. You saw it.
I kept saying, Tim, Kobe's going to be okay. Kobe can shoot. He's going to be fine. It's a confidence thing, right? Because if you watched him in high school, this is what you saw. What you see him doing right now, he can go both ways off the bounce. Pull up is an effective weapon. He can stick threes, you know, a little bit of a streak, not a dead eye shooter, but you got to respect him. You got to close out on him because he can make open jump shots. He can score in bunches. And we saw it. You saw it in workouts against Imani Bates. He was going toe to toe with Imani Bates in workouts. But you look at him last season and it was humbling. It was a humbling experience for him. Clearly could not stay on the floor because of defense. Spent all of last season working on that, right? You come into this season, right, and you expect to be this off-ball guy. And next thing you know, and Jet, he's coming in. He's taking a lot of the attention as far as offensive hierarchy is concerned. And then suddenly it's thrust upon you to have to do more as a ball handler, to have to do more as a scorer. And it's a lot to adjust to. It just took him some time. But what we're seeing from Kobe right now is a guy who moves like he was moving in high school. The swagger, the confidence is there. You saw all that work that he put in is finally paying off, and he's just playing now. He's looking like that two-and-done guy. I don't want him to be two-and-done unless that's really what he feels is best for him. But I said this is a two and done guy when I saw him, and he very well could be based on the way that he's playing right now.
So I remember a matchup, Keegan Murray against Caleb Houston. Okay. And Keegan stayed around. He let his game develop, and he comes into the NBA, and he's probably all rookie team, and he's on pace to break the all-time Kings 3-point record for a rookie. And Caleb Houston, good player, good future, just not ready yet. And so he's G League, he's on the bench, DNP. Like, when you go there, you want to be ready. And if you're a top 10 pick, the NBA is bringing you in to play minutes right away. And so Kobe and Jet, you know, develop your games, go in with that swagger and that confidence, like, I'm taking somebody's minutes. I want to be in the rookie sophomore game. I want to be iconic. I want little kids wearing my jersey. Like, that's what it's all about. And they've got that potential, but they're not quite there yet. And that leads me to a question I want to ask you. So, you know, Jet's name's been out there. A lot of people think he's a lottery pick. Kobe's name is kind of entering that maybe first round, who knows. Like, can you see a scenario where Kobe passes Jet and would someday be drafted higher than him?
So, a couple of things. Let's because you said a lot. Let's rewind.
Okay.
I agree with you that if Kobe comes back, he's a lottery pick. To me, I see trajectory-wise, he's what Jaden Ivey was. So Jaden Ivey, after his freshman year, could have gone. He could have gone and maybe snuck into late in the first round. You come back a year later, Tim, and you are a lottery pick. Now, he's not – the game is not the same. I think Jaden is faster off the bounce. He's more twitchy in that regard. But my point is, Kobe coming back next year with what he's put on wax already and taking it to another level physically, another level as a defender. And now you see a season of him offensively where pull up, got it, 3-pointer from the corner, got it. And you know he can get downhill both ways. You do that over the course of a season now. And yeah, they're pulling you up into the lottery, getting to your current question now, Jet versus Kobe. I think right now it would still be Jet. Because I think the scouts, you see 6'7", 6'8", and a lights-out shooter. And if you can be a lights-out shooter in the NBA, they will find where – they drafted Caleb Houston, Tim. And this is no disrespect to Caleb, but I didn't see anything that made me think that he was going to be drafted last year. But they thought he could shoot. Well, Jet is a better shooter in the year that he's been in college than Caleb was in the year that he was in college. And he's 6'7", and he could put it on the deck better. I just think right now they would take him. But, man, you move it down a year, and I think it might be a crapshoot at that point, because what Kobe can do, Kobe can run a team. He's going to be stronger physically. You're going to like Kobe better defensively. Jet's a work in progress. I think he's going to be better down the line, but I just think athletically guarding quickness off the bounce is going to be something that Kobe is better equipped at doing. And I could see it being a choose your own adventure type of deal for whoever the GM is, thinking that either one of these guys could be a really, really good pro in the lottery. So right now, I think Jet. A year from now, I think it could be a toss up.
So, you know who Jet reminds me a little of, if I had to do a comparison? Duncan Robinson.
Tim.
So okay, let me explain it. Like, I know that Jet is a way better athlete and he's able to put the ball on the floor a little bit. But right now, when he's playing, you know, his best games, he's knocking down threes and his shot is repeatable. He's got deep range. The defense is not there, and it may never be there. And so I think and trust me, I'm a fan of Jet. I love the kid. He's had a really good year, and I think he's improved a lot. And Duncan Robinson got a deal for $90 million because of what he can do.
He did.
Sam, let me throw out another thought. And this is based on me being in the building and just sitting and watching. So I was there about 30 minutes early, and I was really interested to see how Jet looked because nobody knew if he was going to play. And he was shooting threes, and he was shooting from about 35 feet, and he was nailing them. He probably made 8 out of 10 when I was really focused. And it looked a lot like Jordan Poole, like the release and the looseness with the way he was playing. And then the game started, and he wasn't playing. And I was watching him closely, and he was jogging around, and he was jumping up and down after big plays. And I thought, man, like there's 2 weeks to go in the season. This is a must win. And I just thought, if you can bounce around like he was bouncing, and he was shooting like that, and he was jogging around, like, man, I mean, I don't want to question Michigan's medical staff, and I definitely don't question Jet because I know he wanted to play, but it just made me wonder, why isn't he out there playing? You know, like, if you can't play, it's because you're in a boot or you're on crutches, or especially this time of year. I don't know if you think that's unfair, but man, that seemed like a game he could have played.
Yeah, and look, he was the first one off the bench when Hunter shot his shot. He was up. When the ball was in flight, he must have saw it like you, Tim, knowing immediately that was going in, because he jumped off the bench, arms were up, and then when it went through the net, he jumped up twice. So I felt like you. Oh, yeah. He probably could have played in this game. I feel like he definitely will play in these upcoming games. But I could only – I don't have any inside information on this, but what I suspect is that they said, you know, one more game and he's here for the duration, versus he plays now and maybe it hinders him the rest of the way. So, they were able to get it done, and maybe that was the other part of it. We can also get it done without him. They almost didn't, but it worked out. But I got to get back to your Duncan Robinson comparison.
Here we go.
Look, he maybe as a shooter, they will wind up being comparable, which would be an extreme compliment to Jet. That if you, because Duncan Robinson is one of the all-time great shooters in Michigan history, and Jet may wind up being that too in the grand scheme of things.
Same size, right? Same size too. I didn't mention that.
Same size, but don't disrespect to Duncan. He never, even in practice, put it on the deck the way that Jet can. And I'm not saying that Jet is this super off the dribble guy, but Duncan has none of that in his game. And right. You think about the progress that Jet has made in that area since, you know, summer between junior and sophomore year, where he was all one way, all right-handed dribble, all right-handed drives. Now you see him more comfortable going the other way. Now he has to show the ability to do it against good defense, against physicality, against quickness. It's different, right? I mean, it's different doing it against, you know, not very good teams. Can you do it against really good teams that are going to get up in you and crowd you defensively? That's the next step in his progression. But based on the progress that we've seen so far, I'm actually confident that there's another level there. And the same thing when you talk about him defensively, what were we saying about Kobe last year? I mean, if you watch Kobe Bufkin play defense last year, you might have questioned, will it ever be there? Will he ever be able to guard anybody? And look at him this year. Now, do I think that Jet is going to be the defender that Kobe becomes? No. But I think he'll be a better defender than Duncan Robinson. Again, no disrespect intended to Duncan. I just think that Jet is a hair better athletically, and it gives him more defensive upside. And last one on this point, Tim, last game before he went out, I saw Jet play more defense in the 20 or so minutes that he played against Michigan State than I saw him play all season. Part of it is focus and want to and commitment on that end of the floor as well. And there was just a different type of energy from him defensively in that game. And that's another thing that tells me it's in there. You just got to bring it out more consistently.
Man, I knew that this comparison was going to get you all riled up. That was fun.
No, please don't. Don't get. I don't want any messages from Duncan or anybody. I wasn't disrespecting Duncan at all. I think Duncan is a great all-time shooter, $90 million man, an amazing story. D3 to Michigan to, you know, $90 million contract. But I can't see. I can't see that comparison beyond them as shooters.
Okay. All right. No, I think I'll stand by it. I'm not saying that Duncan's a better player. I think Jet's got way more upside, but I will say this. They're both 6'7" shooters that are not known for their defensive prowess. and I think that they are both emerging as being able to put the ball on the floor, one, maybe two dribbles. And so just keep an eye on it.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So how about this as a dynamic, Tim? You know, this team defensively has a different focus on that end of the floor. And if you're Jet and you come back and you aren't showing that same kind of energy, I mean, there's an accountability on the floor. I mean, he said his dad is on him all the time, telling him, you know, you're soft. You're not physical enough. You're not tough enough, Jet. You aren't going hard enough on defense. But if your teammates are echoing that sentiment, man, there's an accountability in that. So that's another thing that makes me believe that the way we saw him play against Michigan State, when his jump shot wasn't falling, but you saw Jet hitting the defensive glass. You saw Jet defending in transition. You saw him playing the whole game and not just the offensive part of the game. It makes me believe or have confidence that we're going to see him pick up where he left off in just that one game when he comes back from injury in this next one.
Yeah, Jet's got star power all over him, and he's going to be a great NBA player. And I do think that he's athletic enough that he is going to be a better and a better defensive player than he has shown. But you're right. The Wisconsin game was the best 40-minute effort. There were a couple stretches that they struggled, but for the most part, they played, you know, 38 to 40 minutes of good defense. And when I say that, they were connected. They were switching a lot of screens, and the guys just seemed to know when to switch and who to switch on to. I think that Terrace played really well defensively. That guy is active, and he helps on the boards. He gives them swagger. And you're right, if Jet does not defend up to the standards of Kobe and Doug, and if he's missing some rotations, those guys have felt what it's like to be on top of their defensive game. They'll call him out, and his coaches will too. I think that I think it's going to be a fun thing to watch tomorrow against Illinois.
You pointed out something else, and it's worthy of highlighting. Phil highlighted the same thing. Doug on the defensive end of the floor. Let's give him credit. So as much as I was touting Kobe's a pro, Kobe's going to be two and done. I hope it's three and done, if that's, you know, as long as that's what he wants to do as well. But I didn't see the way that Doug is playing these last three games. I'm going to admit to you and to everyone watching right now, I didn't see this. And when I say I didn't see this, I'm not talking about just in his freshman year. I didn't see this at all. The way that he is shooting the basketball, not just three-pointers, but, you know, mid-range, pull-up, getting to the rim, and then being a pest on the defensive end of the floor in the half court with his quickness and quick hands, the turnover he caused, you know, kind of swiping the ball when they dumped it down in the post. This level of play from Doug McDaniel these last three games, that's a level that I didn't know he had in him. I got to give that young fella a whole lot of credit.
Yeah, and how important is it, the minutes? That gives you confidence. when you look over there at the bench and you know there's nobody coming in for you, you know, it helps you to fight through some things. And I just can't find anything else to say about him that's not incredibly impressive. I've praised him all year, because to be a freshman and to play 38 minutes a game and to have to keep that energy level up, and he's playing a position that's high energy. I mean, there's a lot of good guards in this league, and it's very physical, and they're running him off screens. And fan club, I'm a member.
Yeah, man. They you know, you got to sustain it. You got to keep it up. But I like that he's trending up at the end of the year. You wonder with Purdue. Remember we were touting their freshman backcourt early in the year, how they were playing like vets. And you wonder if they maybe hit a wall, right? Whereas you look at Doug and Kobe too, but Doug especially as a freshman. And maybe he's just hitting his stride. And I'd rather it be that way. I'd rather they hit their stride at the end of the season the way that Doug is. Which brings us into basically the biggest tests of the season for them now, with everything on the line, on the road at Illinois, on the road at Indiana. Let's start with Illinois, a team they haven't seen yet this season, and a team that, when they're on, one of the most explosive scoring teams in the country. When they're off, they can lose to Ohio State, which, if I'm not mistaken, Ohio State had lost like 9 straight. They were 1-14 in their last 15 games, and they beat Illinois. And they beat Illinois comfortably. Tim, just Illinois wouldn't stop jacking, even though the threes weren't falling. So they could be that team, too.
Yeah, Illinois doesn't scare me. They've lost 3 out of 5. They're a good team. It gets really loud there. I think their guard play is pretty good. And when I think about playing Illinois, it's going to be hard to predict what they bring. They lost to Penn State and Indiana. They beat Minnesota and Northwestern. They lost to Ohio State. Like, who's going to show up? They're really struggling with their three-point shooting. But I do think that, for whatever reason, they have a real hatred against Michigan. Their crowd is going to be electrifying. They're dangerous. They're puzzling. I like Taryn Shannon and Matthew Meyer. I think that they'll both be on some of the all-Big Ten teams. They're going to double-team Hunter. The fact that Hunter has to be the villain. Like, last week I was a little bit hard on him by saying that, you know, I don't like him wearing black ski masks into the arena and jacking up the crowd. But if that's what it takes in this game, you know, do what you need to do. Because if Jet and Kobe and Doug are good and Michigan gets the normal production out of Hunter, I think they'll win this game.
You know, here's a different take on that. I told you last week that I love that part of Hunter, right? That's if I was 7-1, if I was Tim McCormick, that's who I'd be. I'd be like Hunter Dickinson, right? That'd be me kind of talking all the time, because that would get me fired up. But I also think, especially in a road venue like that, he's taking all the pressure on him. It's taking the pressure off the other guys. They're booing Hunter when they're focused on Hunter and what he does. They aren't focused on Dougie and Jed and Kobe and all the other guys. So it can be of benefit to his teammates when he does that. The other piece of it is, if that's not you, if you don't get down like that, just don't participate. Don't participate in the talking, because that'll get you. Stay in your lane. Stay with your game. And I think that's what the other guys do. Kobe doesn't talk, right? He just goes out there and plays. But, you know, it's the yin. He's the yin to Hunter's yang, if you will. So we'll see how it goes on the road at Illinois. Also, you know, you talk about the three-point shooting prowess that we've seen from that team. Matthew Mayer was 3-for-10 against Ohio State. Like, that's the thing that sticks out to me about that team. If Michigan cannot let them get off to a hot start. Like, I mean, just the way that Phil talked about it, he said, you got to know from the tip, it is going to be a physically intense game. They're going to be on top of their game. If you can withstand the first salvo, if you will, this is a team that will play some bad offense. And that's what they did against Ohio State. They played really, really bad offense. Shot selection, I thought, was very poor. Can you force them into that if you're Michigan, even though you're on the road, will be a big, big test. Tests don't stop there, Tim, because then you go on the road to at Bloomington, another team that, you know, they swept Purdue this season, but then they've had some losses that you wouldn't expect them to have of late.
You know, sometimes a player will get on such a hot streak that they'll take you to improbable heights over a short period of time. Trace Jackson Davis was so dominant for about a 2-week period, and it made you feel like this is the best player in the country right now. And I think you could make that argument during that 2 weeks. There was nobody that was better. I mean, he was putting up 30 points against double teams and grabbing every rebound and blocking shots, but that's not him right now. I mean, he's still a great player, but I don't expect him to get the best of Hunter Dickinson. When you think about a lot to play for Indiana still, they got smoked last night by Iowa.
Yeah, they did.
Like I couldn't believe it. And if you're thinking Big Ten tournament right now, who's your favorite? It's got to be Purdue.
Purdue,
right?
Still Purdue.
But if you're looking for an outlier, it's Iowa. Like what they did at the end of the Michigan State game, what they did in Bloomington, they are all scoring. They've got star power. Their coach is going to stare at a referee every now and then. Like this is a team that's really dangerous. The Big Ten tournament, I don't think I've ever seen it this wide open.
So a couple of things. You're absolutely right. They beat the brakes off of Indiana. And this, you remember a couple games ago, Michigan State got Indiana by double digits as well. So they aren't the same team right now. That's not to say it's going to be a cakewalk for Michigan, anything, but when they go down there, it's going to be a tough game. But this is not the task that it would have been 2 weeks ago. It's a winnable game for Michigan. Your other point about Iowa, miraculous comeback. I think they said it's only four times in the history of college basketball has a team done what Iowa did, down double digits with a minute to go, to come back and beat Michigan State like they did. And then, like you said, what they just did to Indiana. But to win a tournament, I mean, to have sustained success, you're going to have to guard at some point. And it's why I can never pick Iowa to win anything of significance. Because in all of Fran McCaffrey's years, I've never known that to be a team that can mount something consistently defensively. So maybe this is the year where they'll find it, or maybe this is the year where they won't need to do so. But history is guiding me here, saying they'll have some moment where they have to guard you and they can't. And that's why I won't pick them to win the Big Ten tournament. That's why I won't pick them to win the NCAA tournament either, even though they have the firepower to go to win the Big Ten tournament and go far in the Big Dance.
Well, when you think about Iowa, they lost at Wisconsin and scored 52, and then they win at Indiana and score 90. But once again, I said I pick Purdue, okay? Right. But when you talk about the rest of the conference, it's a mess.
It is.
And, like, at the top, Maryland and Northwestern in second place. Are you going to think confidently that either one of those teams can win multiple games? I don't. I mean, I like them. They've had a really good year. But I've watched them for decades losing. Not as much Maryland, but Northwestern. I can't believe that they're really a serious contender. They're good, great season. I just don't see it. Who's Indiana? You give up 90 at home to Iowa in a game they need to win. I think that Indiana, to me, they've got 19 wins. They have a lot of work to go. They've got some firepower. They're dangerous, but their defense is hit and miss too. I'm never sure. Michigan State, Penn State can beat anybody, but they can be mediocre too. I don't trust their offense at all. Their defense is really good, but they have way too many droughts. So I have no idea other than Purdue who I would pick.
I definitely would pick Purdue. It's a big year for Paint, man. I think you remember we had that discussion a couple years ago, who's the best coach in the Big Ten, and Paint was my guy. What critics would say is, when is he going to win the big one? And, I mean, it's all in front of him. He has the toughest player in the country to stop. He's done a great job of growing up his backcourt. They will guard you. You know, they can play in the half court. They can get up and down. They're a versatile team, but you've seen an Indiana team kind of really exploit them with Trayce Jackson-Davis and the quickness at the five spot, especially. You wonder if that'll be something that is an Achilles heel moving forward, and if these freshman guards can return to, you know, early season form where they were looking like veterans. One more word on Iowa. I think the key to them is Peyton Sanford. Which one are you going to see? You know, is he going to be that guy that for the first part of the Big Ten schedule couldn't throw it in the ocean? Or is he going to be that guy and, you know, like he was against Michigan where he's like 4 for 5, 4 for 6 or 7 from three? I think the game before that he was hot from three. He's just been so up and down. You don't know which one he's going to be. If he can be that guy that he was against Michigan and whoever they played before Michigan, I think it was Rutgers where he really went off. And then like Michigan State, if he can be that Peyton Sanford, man, or against like he was against Indiana, they can go a long way. I'm just not confident that he's going to be a guy that can be consistent for them. I'm not confident they're going to play defense. So, but about Michigan, put it on the line, Tim. Put it on the line. They play Illinois. They play Indiana on the road. Make the call. What happens in these games?
I think that Illinois wins a single-digit game against Michigan. I think that environment's going to be too big for so many young players. I think that Indiana's going to be a pick 'em. I don't think Indiana hates Michigan. I think that Trayce Jackson-Davis is a tough matchup for Hunter Dickinson. I can see Michigan winning that. If they don't, I still think Michigan can win two in the Big Ten and get to the NCAA.
Yeah, I got to split. I think it's going to be a tight game in Champaign, really tight game in Champaign. First game back for Jet. I should go with a split. My head is telling me a split. My heart is telling me Michigan's going to get both of these games with the way this backcourt is playing, man.
No, that's good. You know what? Whether it happens or not, I mean, I'll give you credit for that one if you're right.
All right, you know what? Look. Let me not mince words, all right? The way this backcourt is playing right now, and with Jet coming back and I think kind of getting with the program, like the program that they've been playing without him, Michigan's going to get both of these games, Tim.
Wow. Okay.
Michigan's going to get both of these games.
I'm writing this down right now. Okay.
Write it down.
Just like you'll hold me if I dog Kobe shooting at the beginning of the year, you'll bring it up again 2 months later.
Guard play, Tim. Guard play. And it's amazing how much easier the game is for Hunter. I mean, I think that's a part of his confidence right now is he can look and see, I don't have to do it myself, right? Hmm. And now if you double him, now it's guys actually out there making you pay.
Okay. So if you're right, we're going to change the name from the Michigan Insider to the Sam Webb Podcast. Okay? We're just going to change the name.
No, we won't. This is the Michigan Insider Podcast with Tim McCormick, Michigan Basketball Insider with Tim McCormick. But, hey, we can have a prognostication segment. I don't mind doing that if this works out. But I just
– Well, if you're right, Michigan may be the Big Ten champs if Purdue loses twice.
Well, they'll be the – if they win both games, they'll be the two – I think they'll be the two seed in the Big Ten tournament is, I think, what it'll be. But I'm
– So I don't even know. If that's the case, do you want the double bye? I think Michigan needs wins, right?
If they get these two games, I think they're in.
Okay, good.
I think you're right, Tim. See, now I'm going with you. You said the magic number is 19, right?
Yeah.
So they get these next two. They're at 19.
All right. That's good. I love it, though. Six straight Sweet 16s. Let's get, like, as long as we're going to make bold predictions, they're not going to get in the tournament. They're going to win and get to the Sweet 16, too.
All right, folks. Tell us in the comments what you think. How you feeling about this team? Who would you draft? All the questions that Tim – put up, you know, who's going to go higher if they come back next year versus now? If they both came out now, Kobe and Jet, who's higher? If they both wait till next year, who's higher. How does Michigan finish this regular season at Illinois and at Indiana? Drop them in the comments. What do you think of Tim's comparison? Duncan Robinson, Jet Howard. What say you? I'm interested in seeing these comments. We're going to be reading them. We'll talk about it next week. Until then, folks, if you like this podcast, be sure to rate it. Be sure to review it. Be sure to tell all your friends about it. They can find it wherever they get their podcasts. Google, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, you name it. Of course, you can watch us on YouTube. If you like these videos, be sure to like this one. Be sure to subscribe to the channel. That way you'll get a notification every time we do a new episode. And then, of course, where it all goes down, the MichiganInsider.com. That's where football, basketball, and recruiting, all the updates, all the spring ball, spring practice rumblings, which we're rolling out. You can find that over on TMI, and $1 gets you in your first month. When you become a full paying member, you also get a Paramount Plus subscription. And I got to tell you, there are a couple of great shows on Paramount Plus. 1923, highly recommended. If you like Yellowstone, you'll love 1923. Then, of course, the Mayor of Kingstown, Northern Michigan Prison, Jeremy Renner. Hope he's all right. Hope he can get back to a normal life and eventually do work, because he's great on that show. Mayor of Kingstown, highly recommended over on Paramount Plus. See you next time, folks, on another edition of the Michigan Basketball Insider.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.